First of all, I've got some good news. How many people like good news? We need good news. Here's the good news. Jared and Rachel are going to be our Tauranga location pastors. So why don't you stand up? Stand up. Do a twirl. Jared, you're doing So that's very good. Maybe. Yeah, how exciting is that? So they're going to look after this location. We just felt we needed some focus in different areas. And we've got location pastors in North. We're looking for new location pastors in Coast. But we thought, oh, let's put some location pastors in here in Tauranga. And then we'll be needing some more sometime soon for a location, next location coming soon. We don't know when. It's like when you're trying to have children, you don't know when they're going to come, but they do come at some stage. So that's very exciting. Hey, look, the Hope Project, we wanted to take an offering up this morning, and you could have already done it into it, but I just want to encourage you. Now, a few weeks ago, we were $400,000 short for the Hope Project. But do you want to know the good news? See, more good news. I think we only need about another 280, somewhere around that, 280,000. So a whole lot's already come in. We just need a little bit more. And we just really, look, I really believe in this. It's an amazing opportunity to put the gospel through these great little booklets into just about every mailbox in the nation, except for those who say no circulars, which includes me. I don't know. But hey, look, this is a great thing. If you want to just give into that, use our normal giving in there, but if you just put in the reference Hope Project, or you can go out and do it out there, it'd be great if we could be putting, I don't know, I'd like to see 40,000-50,000 towards that. That would make a great difference. It's something where we get to reach the nation. You know, we often talk about first in Judea, which we go is Tauranga, then Judea, first in Judea, then in Samaria, then the other parts of the world. And I go, our Samaria is New Zealand. Do you know it's often harder to find things to input into in New Zealand that are New Zealand-wide? Whereas here we've got the Hope Project with Dave Mann and Heather doing an amazing job with that, and we can just sow into that and make a difference for our nation. One of the things I was saying the other day is, you know, sometimes we don't realise the impact we're having. And you know that one day you'll get to heaven and you'll be going, walking along in heaven, just mind your own business, and this person will come up to you and they'll go, oh, hi, you don't know me, I lived in Invercargill. I know, who would live in Invercargill? But I lived in Invercargill. Sorry if you're online in Invercargill. Yeah. But I was in Invercargill and we got this booklet through the mail and I read it and I started going to the Anglican Church in Invercargill. I hope they've got an Anglican Church in Invercargill. And we will have been a part of that. You know, sometimes we don't realise this, just a little we're putting in has an effect. And together we can do way more than we can do by ourselves. So can I really encourage you just to do that? You can do it now on your phone. I'll let you do it on your phone now. Maybe not later, but you can do it now. Oh, you can do it anytime on your phone. That'd be good. Hey, and look, just we're in the middle of prayer and fasting. How many people have been doing some sort of prayer and fasting over the week? Okay. Be good to have more of you. Putting your hand up, that'd be good. Hey, there's some prayer and fasting booklets there you can get. But one of the things that's happened for me is that I start thinking lots about the spiritual realm. Now, I don't know what you think about the spiritual realm, the other dimension. What do you think? What do you see? Can you imagine the spiritual realm? What do you feel is happening spiritually right here, right now? What can you see? Well, most of us go, well, I can just see you, Alan, sitting up, standing up there in a pink shirt of all shirts, of all colours. Well, what can you see? But what can you see if I get you to close your eyes? In fact, close your eyes. What do you see in the spiritual? What do you sense in the spiritual? Because sometimes we've got to stop seeing in the natural to be able to see in the spiritual. It's one of the reasons we close our eyes. Father, right now, Lord, we want to be more aware of you, more aware of your spiritual realm. Lord, we want to be more aware of what's eternal rather than what is temporal. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak to us this morning. And Lord, I pray we would open our eyes to see. Lord, we want to be people that see what you see. Help us, Lord, to see. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I've been quoting a lot Ephesians 6:12, which is one of my favorite verses, I think, because I often quote it. And I'm not sure whether it's because I feel like I'm fighting with people all the time, because it says, "For we're not fighting against people." But I'm not fighting against people, but I just get this. I feel this is a real relevant to our lives. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. There is an unseen world. There is an unseen dimension that we are a part of. Against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What is seen is temporary. Everything we can see now is temporary. Even we are temporary in this world. 100 years from now, lest they find some sort of thing that can make us live forever, which I don't think they will, we'll all be dead. We'll be gone. Some of us will be cremated. Some of us will be in the ground. But what is seen will be gone. And we will be entering into eternity. What is unseen? I wrote this: expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. It seems in life you get what you expect. Jesus performed miracles because people were expecting a miracle. They started seeing miracles, so they started expecting miracles. But can God perform a miracle in my life today? Do you believe that God can perform a miracle in your life? That God can do it? Yes. You see, God can perform a miracle in your life today if you're expecting a miracle. Likewise, God won't do anything in your life if you are expecting him to do nothing. Because it's about what do we see, what do we expect, what are you expecting today? I wonder how much is not happening in our life because we're not expecting anything. I wonder how much that could be happening in our lives is not happening in our lives because we're just not expecting God to do something in our lives. Hebrews 11:1-3 says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command." That blows me away every time I read it. The words spoken by God. God spoke the world into being. "That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen." So the title of my message is, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see for your life? What do you see when you think about the spiritual? What do you see? And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn to 2 Kings 6:8. I haven't put this on the screen, so you're either going to have to just listen to me or find it in your Bible. So 2 Kings 6:8. Let me read it to you. "When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, 'We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place.' But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, 'Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there.' So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God, warning the people that there would be to be on their guard. This happened several times. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers and demanded, 'Which of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?' 'It's not us, my lord,' one of the officers replied. 'Elisha, the prophet of Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom.' The king commanded the king commanded, 'Go and find out where Elisha is and we'll send troops to seize him.'" It's kind of funny. He knows what you're saying everywhere, but you're going to do this now. It's sort of, okay, yep, let's see if it works. And a report came back, Elisha is in Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, chariots everywhere. Ah, my lord, what will we do now? He cried out to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. I keep praying that, Lord, let us see. What do we see? We just see the natural? Do you just see the natural in your life? Or do you see what's going on spiritually in your life? The Lord opened his servant's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You'd feel a lot better now, wouldn't you? Well, this is pretty cool. As the Aramean army advanced towards them, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please make them blind. And the Lord did as Elisha asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, you've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I'll take you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. And the Lord did, and they discovered that they were in Samaria. Oopsie. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elijah, my father, should I kill them? You know, they're all surrounded there. Well, that's pretty cool. Of course not, Elisha told him. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to their king. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Isn't that a cool story? And I often think about it. What am I not seeing in the spiritual that's happening in my life? And look, every one of us have things that are happening in our life spiritually. I often wonder what's happening around my home. What's the spiritual? What spiritually is happening in my house and I don't know it? What's spiritually happening in our city? What's happening in our nation? What's happening in the spiritual realm? I mean, you could imagine this. Imagine being able to repeat what the enemy was saying in their own house. With technology now, I suppose some people are doing that. Wiretaps, powerful listening device, your phone. Someone's listening somewhere, aren't they? But the element of surprise was really important. And so here's three things I just thought about to do with this. You know, Elisha knew the plans of the enemy. Do you know the plans of the enemy against you? Do you know that the enemy has plans against you? To rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy your life, to make you feel depressed, to make your life horrible? The enemy has a plan against you. Do you know those plans? Can you see him when he does them? We need to know the enemy has a plan to try and trap and destroy our life. He sets up ambushes to try and get you to doubt God and doubt people. He's trying to affect how you see things. The second thing, Elisha could only see what the enemy against him and could not see the army for him. It's very easy in our problems that we see only the enemy and always believe that we're doomed. The servant became paralyzed with fear and intimidated by the size of the army attacking him. And I go, what in your life do you feel like you've been attacked with? Does that thing become bigger and bigger than your God? It's so easy for us to just slide into this realm where we're looking at things more in the natural than we are in the spiritual. And the third thing, the Arameans were blind to what they were looking for, and therefore they went to the wrong place. We must be careful we don't become blind to the direction of our life. Otherwise, we end up at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and in a lot of trouble. These guys ended up in, man, it would have been scary, wouldn't it? Suddenly, where all your surprise, where you thought, suddenly you wake up to go, hey, we're in the wrong place. I'd hope that our lives, we don't end up going, man, I'm in the wrong place. I hope you don't look at your life and go, I'm in the wrong place. And we can be in the wrong place because we don't see. Seeing is all about interpreting information, what you perceive with your eyes or your mind or your understanding. I read this. Vision scientists discovered why humans literally don't see eye to eye. We humans may not always see eye to eye on politics, religion, sports, and other matters of debate, but at least we can agree on the location and sizes of objects in our surroundings. Or can we? Not according to the new UC Berkeley research recently published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society of Bee Biological Sciences Journal, that shows that our ability to pinpoint the exact location and size of things varies from one person to the next. And even within our own individual field of vision, we assume our perception is perfect reflection of the physical world around us. But this study shows that each of us has a unique visual fingerprint, i.e., what we think we see is exactly the same as everybody else. We perceive differently. We see based on our perception. You see life based on your perception. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You know, sometimes we need to reinterpret what we're actually seeing. Recently, I'm driving along with my son Andre, driving along in the car, and we're just driving along. I'm minding my own business. And he goes, "Yellow car, whack!" Oh, what? He said, "I saw a yellow car." "Yeah, but you whacked me." "It's okay." Driving along again, another yellow car, whack! He goes, "Yellow car, whack." And this just kept happening over the week. Every time we're driving, say, "Yellow car, whack." I go, "Man, I'm not seeing the yellow cars. I need to get on the game." And then we'd be sitting in the car and he'd be in the back and Eleanor in the front, and he'd go, "Yellow car," and lean forward and whack me on the arm again. I'm getting bruised. I'm getting beaten up here. And then when I go, okay, I'm starting to look for yellow cars. There's not a lot, but there are a lot. Suddenly I'm looking for yellow cars. And every time I see a yellow car, I'm trying to get to the back to whack. "Yellow car." But I can't get it, and it wouldn't have been good if I'd have gone, "Yellow car, whack," and Eleanor would not have been happy with that at all. That would not go down well. It got to the stage where he didn't want to play the game because I started seeing the yellow cars before he did. Yellow cars. I never noticed yellow cars. Even now, while I'm driving and minding my own business, "Oh, yellow car." We see what we look for. We see what we look for. I remember Victor talking about number plates. He'd suddenly started looking at number plates all the time. And could you see what you're looking for. And then there's a whole lot of things in our lives that we see what we're looking for. And we don't see what we're not looking for. And if you're not looking for what you're facing spiritually, you won't see it. If you don't look at your life from a view that the enemy's against you, if you don't look at your life from an eternal perspective, then you see things differently. But if you look at your life and say, "Well, what am I doing from an eternal perspective?" It changes what you see in your life that's important and what's not. What's your perception? What do you see? What do you want to see? If you want to see conspiracy, you can see conspiracy. If you want to see negative, you can see negative. If you want to see negative in people, if you want to see negative in a church, doesn't matter where you go, you're going to see that. You'll see it because it's there. If you want to see good, you'll see good. What do you want to see? Do you see possibilities or do you see problems? Do you see sunshine or do you see rain? Do you see potential or do you see problems? What do you see? What is lit up? What you see depends on the light you're carrying and the revelation you have. So what's your level of revelation? Do you see things when you're reading the Bible? Do you see scriptures? Do you see things jump out and go, "Oh, that's for me"? Or do you see nothing? You know, sometimes we stop looking. Every time you're reading your Bible, look for it. What's God saying to me? This is here to feed me. We look and we see. The future we embrace is determined by the revelation we carry. I think I remember Pastor Paul saying that. The future that you are going to embrace is based on the revelation you carry. It's going to, the revelation you have about God, the revelation you have about how life is, what you have is your revelation about life, and what the word says about it will be what you carry, what your future holds. And so this, when I started doing this, there's a couple of things I put down. I've started thinking about what blinds us, what stops me from seeing. And the first thing I got was, when I start judging others, I stop seeing correctly. And Matthew 7, 1 to 5, a pretty familiar scripture. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For we will all be treated as you treat others. The standard you use judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrites, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Do you know, I think we stop being able to see correctly when we start judging people. When we start seeing their faults. You know, if you start seeing one fault, you'll see all the faults. You'll see them. You'll just keep seeing them. And what happens is you'll see them even when they're not there, because you'll start reading into everything they're doing. You can't judge a person's motive. You don't know a person's motive. You don't know why someone's done something or not done something. Or sometimes we've done things and we're oblivious to them and people read into it. We've got to be so careful. But it starts to blind us to things in our lives. It starts to make us not see. And then we start to govern our lives by what we perceive, and it's inaccurate. It's not right. We've got to begin. You know, one of the amazing things about God is that he sees you and me for all the good in our lives. He doesn't see any of the sin. When you go and say, Jesus, forgive me, he no longer sees that. And I think sometimes, though, we still see the things, the inadequacies in people, whereas God doesn't see them. How amazing is that? We want to see the right things. People who are judgmental are not able to see properly, and often they don't even know it. I think it just puts a haze over our eyes. We become like these Arameans that came in, and we think we're seeing, but we're not seeing. Matthew 6:22 says, your eye is a lamp of your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. Do you know the context of this? It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was talking about treasure in heaven before and not serving two masters afterwards. It's about what you perceive, the lamp, your eye, what you're seeing. Do you see things in the light of Jesus? Do you see the things in the light of your salvation? Do you see things in the light of thanksgiving and how good God is for you? The second thing is spiritual blindness. The servant was spiritually blind. He could not see the resources that God had sitting in front of him. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, if the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded their minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Unbelief and doubt causes spiritual blindness. That's quite sad, because I don't like blindness. You know, it's like this. We, from our house, we have a beautiful view of the Kaimais. And most days we can see the Kaimais, but every now and again the clouds are on the Kaimais. But just because I can't see the hills because of the clouds doesn't mean the hills are gone. You know, sometimes we get clouded in our judgment because of the problems or the things in our lives. Some of it can be just our past experiences. We've had that many negative or disappointing things that it makes us see negatively and disappointing about everything. And we've got to say, God, can you open my eyes to see? I want to see what is good. I want to see you, can believe you, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. What do you see? Today, I want you to see what God sees about yourself. What do you see about you? oh, I'm no good. If you see that, that's what you see. That's what you perceive. It's not what God says. You know, often we are talking about seeing things in the context of seeing what you're going to do, but in the future, but I want you to see about what you're going to be and who you are, what you are in Christ. If you can see that, then you'll do whatever God wants you to do. Yeah. But if you can get that confidence in yourself that God loves you and understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made and you're amazing. See, how we see ourselves is how we outwork our life. If you see yourself a certain way, then that's the way you outwork life. And sometimes our perception of ourselves are not right. I think that's what these freedom prayers do. They'd help you just get a revelation of how God sees you and where God wants to be in your life. God wants to take what you see in the spiritual and bring it through into the natural. So what do you see in the spiritual? What do you see? What are you believing for? What are you wanting to see happen? 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life and faith, let us strip off every weight that slows you down, especially the sin that easily trips you up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before for us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Can you see Jesus? Do you see your life as going, man, I'm living for Jesus. Everything I'm doing, I'm living for Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. What do you see? We are the ones who bring the spiritual through to the natural. We're the ones who do it. When you pray for something, you're bringing it from the spiritual into the natural. We see it, we speak it, then we begin to do it. So what do you see? Why don't you close your eyes? What do you see this morning? What do you see in the spiritual? This morning when I was just standing here, I felt there was a spiritual haze for some people. It was like you felt the heavens were like brass. You felt, man, I'm just not connecting. It's the enemy and it's a spiritual thing, and sometimes you've got to clear away the spiritual stuff to see. I just wrote down these things. These are things that I felt in the spiritual with the moment. I can see someone, you're walking along the beach saying, God, why me? Something's happened in your life and you're going, why me? I saw another person, you're sitting in a car and you get overcome with fear and anxiety about something and you just start crying in your car. I see another person, you're just vacuuming and a cloud of doubt and worry comes over you. I just see this is the enemy, and you need to see that the enemy is trying to make you feel depressed and is trying to put a cloud over you. And change the atmosphere around you somehow, either pray with somebody or put on some worship and decide, I'm going to just praise God. I can't deal with all this natural stuff. I'm just going to praise and worship my God. I felt there was someone, and you just keep getting these reoccurring images of you doing something wrong. And it's like the enemy's trying to make you focus on that. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning we'd all be able to see. Lord, help us to see this morning. Why don't you just ask God, God, what do you want me to see that I'm not seeing? Lord, please help me to see what you see. Lord, let me see what's worthwhile and what's not, what's eternal and what's temporal. Help me to see. Help me to see. Help me to see. See the potential in people. See the potential in your children. And Father, I pray for anybody that wants to see but just is struggling to see. They can't even lift their heads up. They can't even see. Lord, I pray right now that they would have fresh faith built into their spirit. Fresh life would build into their spirit. And they would see. Just while everyone's got their eyes closed, every Sunday we want to give an opportunity for people to respond to Jesus. You know, God's real. You might not be able to see him, but he's real. He created the world, created the universe, created mankind, humankind. He created them. But humankind went their own way, and so they created distance between them and God. We all have fallen short. We're all broken in a sense. We've all sinned. We've all done wrong. And so there was this disconnect between us and God. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, physically came to the earth, lived a perfect life and died. And that physical act spiritually enabled us to connect with God. He dealt with sin. He dealt with that brokenness so that we could reconnect the way we were created to be connected. We could reconnect with God. And he offers that for us. He offers that for everyone today. All you have to do is ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. It's quite simple. And come in. And suddenly, when that sin's gone and we've asked for that forgiveness, we're in relationship with him. In a sense, our eyes will be open. You will be amazed how much God has worked in your life and you may not have seen it. And as you journey with him, you become more and more aware of his presence and of the Holy Spirit. And it sets you for eternity. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'd love you to join with me and pray this prayer. And it's a prayer just asking him to come into his life. For those of you who are Christian, and I say this each week, but I believe it, I want you to see yourself in the spiritual praying this prayer with somebody that you're believing to see get saved. See it. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's a workmate. Maybe it's a friend. But see yourself saying this prayer with them. So just let's all say it after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for all my sin. Please forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Please be the Lord of my life. Please be the boss of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the people who have prayed that. Maybe they've been away from you and they've coming back this morning. Or maybe they've never connected with you. Lord, I pray they'd know how real you are. Lord, I pray they would find someone, a friend, to be able to disciple them, to teach them about you, Father. Lord, I pray they find a great church, great connect group. And Lord, that they would connect with you. And Lord, I pray faith would rise in their heart. Lord, we do thank you for all the good things you're doing in our lives. Continue to move, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.